Moolala is brought to you by the nonprofit credit counseling agency Credit Canada and by Home Equity Bank, provider of the CHIP reverse mortgage. If you're in pretty good financial shape, getting a mortgage on your principal residence is pretty straightforward. You gather your info, you call a lender or a mortgage broker, they check your credit score, they talk to you about rates, they talk to you about features, and you're done. It is not so simple, though, if what you're trying to do is get a mortgage on a rental property. Paul Leonard is the CEO of Wealth One Bank of Canada, and he joins us now to talk about the process, if that is indeed your goal. Hello there.
Hello, Bruce. How are you?
I'm great. There is so much talk about real estate in this country. There are so many people who see this as being a part of their financial plan. They either love it or they believe that that's the way to wealth for them. What is different when it comes to financing rental properties than if it's the house you're going to sleep in every night?
Typically, rental properties are where an individual is already sleeping in their own home, have a mortgage on that, and they've decided to invest their funds in another property. And in doing so, the income that's associated with that property is a function of the tenant that you have involved. It's a function of the costs related to maintaining the property, and most importantly, the cost of obtaining a mortgage on that particular property and the interest rate that you can get and to earn a profit on your real estate.
How do you make the call on who gets the thumbs up on a mortgage for a rental property and who does not?
Typically, we still look at the credit experience of the borrower, the investor, and the piece of real estate. One of the most important components of any underwriting, whether it's on your own property or on a rental property, is your demonstrated willingness and ability to pay your debts and satisfy your debts. And so we would evaluate the credit score. We then, if you pass muster related to that, then we begin to look at the underlying economics of the property that you're looking to get financed.
I can imagine your rigor on that is higher than it would be on a principal residence in that there's fewer variables. If you live in the house, you're not worried about someone not paying the rent for a couple of months and how you're going to cover that, because that's not the way that works. How detailed a process is that for you to work with the applicant to say, I'm not sure you're going to be able to get that level of rent, or you didn't factor in enough money to account for a furnace repair?
Yeah, so really, you kind of began to ask the same questions that we begin to ask, which is really starting to dig down into what are your expectations of the property? Is there a tenant in the property? Are they paying rent? What's the rental rate? And really, it begins a longer process of discovery on the property. So when you have you're living in your home, your lender is going to ask you about, what's your T4? And that's pretty much it. And they run them through a computer and an algorithm, and it pops out an answer. You're good to go or not. And I think where we begin to differentiate ourselves and what we do and what other lenders in our space do is we have to go back to first principles of credit and underwriting to make that determination. And then, to your point, you begin to negotiate. You find out, whether there's more detail, whether they have other properties, what's the income on those other properties? Are you making a profit on those? What's the market doing in terms of, the valuation of your property? That's a big issue today. What's the property worth?
What are some of the rules of thumb on leverage? So for a principal residence, if you're under 20% in terms of your deposits, you need insurance. They won't give you a mortgage if you've got nothing down. What are some of the rules of thumb on rental properties that we should know?
So for all intents and purposes, rental properties do not qualify for the government programs or industry programs on insurance. So you're what we call a conventional mortgage, which means that we can lend up to 80% of the loan to value. But because of the risks associated with residential, at least in our case, we typically like to have that investor have more down on the property, more skin in the game, if you will. And we're typically looking at, you know, a loan to what we call loan to value ratio of 65%, 60 to 65%. So we are asking investors to commit more of their capital in the property.
Interest rates are moving all the time. So I'm not going to ask you a specific question about rates, but I want to ask what premium a borrower would pay for this type of investment versus a principal resident. Is it 100 basis points? Is it 500 basis points?
I would say it's typically on the order of somewhere between 1.5 to 2%. Not more than that for a similar, you know, for a borrower with a good quality credit profile. Again, it's not cookie cutter. And so the organizations, the banks like ourselves that do that, we have to do more work and we have to ask, you know, the value that we're creating and the enablement to actually do the mortgage is something that comes at a slight premium. But typically, if you remain a good quality credit and you're a solid investor, you're not what we would call subprime. You're not at much at significantly higher rate, but there are premiums associated with that.
Some of your clients pay in advance. How does that work, and why would you request or require that they do that?
So that's a feature that's, I think, fairly common in the United States. It's more innovative here. We began to employ it when we were starting to market ourselves to investors that were new to Canada. And it was a way, in particular investors, you don't have a T4, so you don't have the source of income. These are typically higher net worth individuals. And so they have the assets available, liquid assets available, and we're asking to reduce the risk that they deposit those assets in a secure account at our bank. And that's used by us in the event that you don't make your monthly payments, and gives us an opportunity to, you know, resolve on the property should there be problems in the future. And that reduction in our risk exposure enables us to offer a very competitive and lower rate than they would get otherwise somewhere else.
Spend any time on social media or on the internet, and you will see a lot of influencers who have drunk the Kool-Aid here on the power and magic of investing in rental properties. You know, why pay someone else's mortgage? This is the way to wealth, all that. And certainly for many humans, that is true. For some humans, it is not true. What are the pitfalls, or what are the holes in this narrative that rental properties are the easy way to make a buck?
Naivete. listening to the influencers, I think our experience with the borrowers that we have is, you know, typically this is not their first foray into the market. They have, you know, two or three properties, perhaps. They've demonstrated knowledge in the industry. And I think that's where it comes down to. If you're going to enter this market, you better do some homework first. It's listening to, you know, people like yourselves, real estate agents that you may know, talking to mortgage brokers. Do some homework before you dive into this market and just take it for what it is.
One last question. We have no idea where real estate prices will go over the course of a week or 5 years. What perspective would you provide in terms of the conservatism that investors should have now that this naivete about real estate always rising and twill ever be thus? There's a crack in that. Of course, there's a crack in that because of rising interest rates and affordability and all that. What perspective would you have on the sort of 5-year time horizon for the rental market, the rental property market?
Boy, that really is a hard question to answer, because we've seen in this market, you know, housing prices falling and rental rates increasing because of supply and demand.
Yeah.
I think until the demand issues are solved in this country, which have been disrupted around the creation of adequate volume of housing, there's a real potential that rental rates will be, you know, seemingly counter-cyclical. Mm. That's a bit of a guess, and it's based on, you know, the disruptions that we're all seeing in the market. So notwithstanding rising rates, it would seem rental rates are going up, whereas others would have said they would have done something different. So I'm like you, I can't predict what's going to happen 5 minutes yeah. from
that alone. Yeah. Paul, thank you for your time today.
It's a pleasure. Thank you for this conversation. I've enjoyed it.
Excellent. Paul Leonard, the CEO of Wealth One Bank of Canada. And he was here to talk about the financing of rental properties. It is a similar, but very, very different game than financing your principal residence.